If we haven't met, my name is Brian Telsrell, and I happen to be one of the pastors here on staff, and I have the privilege of continuing our Lenten series in His Own Words. Jesus took His disciples on a field trip to Caesarea Philippi, which was on the coast, and in so doing, He kind of introduced them, or at least kind of stood at a distance and said, in Caesarea Philippi, there's all kinds of spiritual options that are here. There were gods or temples to Greek gods, to Caesar, and to many others. And Jesus took His disciples there and said, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples chose to answer with what they've been hearing from different people and whatnot. But then He turns to them directly, and He says to them, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" He says, "Am I one of those options that exist that's represented here in Caesarea Philippi? Or have some of the things that we've been encountering and engaged with tell you that there's something different with the things that we've gotten to experience? Do you think that there's something different that I have to offer you? So who do you say that I am?" That question is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. And this series has been all about that, is trying to identify what Jesus says about Himself to answer, help us answer that question, who do we say He is? Each of those statements reveals some different aspect of Jesus' identity and helps us answer with certainty the question of who He is. And so we want to listen to the next I am statement here this morning, coming from John 15, which Brian is going to read for us here this morning.
"I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord."
So a question to kick us off with is, what brings you happiness? Okay, what makes you happy? Take a moment just to turn to the person next to you and share what was the first thing that came to your mind when I asked that question. What makes you happy? Have you ever wondered what the difference is between happiness and joy? Happiness is typically a more fleeting emotion, often sparked by a particular moment or even event that brings a sense of excitement or exhilaration. Joy, on the other hand, is a more long-lasting state of being, characterized by the contentment and the satisfaction of life overall. Joy is an inner feeling, where happiness is an outward expression. Joy endures hardship and trials and connects with meaning and purpose. A person pursues happiness but chooses joy. Joy is rooted in God. It is not fleeting or based on circumstance. Worldly possessions, accomplishments, even the people in our lives are blessings that make us happy and fuel joyfulness. However, the Bible teaches that the source of all joy is Jesus. Now, our passage today concluded with Jesus saying, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus' desire is for his disciples, his followers, his children, is to know this joy. But how? How can we know this joy? Joy is not a feeling as happiness is. It's a choice that we make based on the love the Father has for the Son and the Son's love for us. So let's unpack this as we explore this I am statement that Jesus makes about himself so that we can answer with confidence Jesus' questions, who do you say that I am? He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may be even more fruitful. Well, let's understand the context of where he is in John 15. We've just come off a circumstance where he was with his disciples in the upper room, sharing the Last Supper. Then he washed his disciples' feet and gave them some direction from that. And now he's heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, where there is plenty of vines and fruit. Jesus' conflict takes something familiar and helps us understand what it is that he's trying to say. Roger Fredrickson, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, says he uses the motif of a vine in its branches to illustrate spiritual truth. His union with these men is as alive as the relationship of the vine is to the branches. The Father is the gardener who cuts off branches in Jesus that bear no fruit. Ponder that for a moment. He's cutting off branches in Jesus. Jesus needs pruning? Well, this seems to indicate that the pruning is not necessarily sin in our lives, but maybe some other distractions, some other things that causes us to not be as fruitful as we possibly could be. He cuts off every branch in him that bears no fruit. Clearly, the objective is for the vine to bear fruit. The role of the vine is to produce fruit, even much fruit, he says. Jesus says, I am the true vine that bears fruit. So the first characteristic of Jesus as a vine is to bear fruit. I am the vine and I'm here to produce fruit. Next, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Characteristic number two is very subtle but very important. Pruning is part of the cleaning process for a healthy vine. No plant produces fruit instantaneously. Fruit is the result of a process. And such is the case for all of us as believers. To prune is to cleanse. Once the fruit is on the vine dresser cleanses the fruit of bugs and diseases. The spiritual connection is cleansing, which is done through God's word. So the second characteristic of Jesus as a vine is that he cleanses. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. We are clean because of Jesus' words. We can't clean ourselves. We are clean because he says so. Now, I know a lot of our fifth kids are gone, but there's probably some adolescents in here. Have you ever heard your mom or dad say, because I said so? Yeah, even as adults, we remember those as when we were kids. Well, Jesus means it here. Because I said so, you are clean. Our selfish interests, our unconfessed sin, our careless disregard for the truth, or a bitter, unforgiving spirit can block the flow of life from the vine. Hence, our need to remain in the vine and be cleansed by Jesus' word. Amen to that. Remain in me, says in verse 4, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, we can't bear fruit on our own. We must remain in Jesus as the only way to bear fruit. Now, this particular translation uses the word remain, but the RSV uses the word abide. We hear it in different contexts and different times, but we rarely use that in our vernacular language. The word abide means to dwell, to stay, to settle in, to sink deeper. We use the word abide in our communion liturgy when we talk about the need to abide in Jesus as the only way to produce fruit. The way to abide is Christ in Christ is to obey his word. The believer who lovingly obeys the word of God produces much fruit, Jesus said. Apart from him, he can do nothing. Apart from him, he will be thrown away. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this display throughout this series, but all of these things represent the different metaphors that Jesus talks about in his I am statements. Today, we're talking about the vine. It's to stay connected for life. This particular piece is a vine from my backyard that has been cut off and now has no life to it. And according to this passage, it gets thrown away, wither, and dies because it is not connected to the vine. I wonder if this is why Jesus and Paul often talk about our need to remain in the context of the body of Christ. We were never meant to live in isolation. Yet when pain, suffering, and hardship come along, we often retreat to our own vices, when just the opposite is called for. We need the support, the strength, and the encouragement of the vine and the body of Christ, if you will, to survive and to thrive. Remaining in him and remaining in the vine, which connects us all together, is critical to healthy discipleship. Yes, that may mean revealing or confessing some of the deviant ways that we've turned to in the process. Remember, pruning, cleansing, and producing fruit is a process. Jesus continues to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. Now, this time of the year is one of my favorite times of the year, although it didn't look like it just a couple of hours ago. I love spring because it's a chance to kind of go out in the yard and see what has survived over winter, over the harshness of the time. And it's a time to clean. It's a time to prune. It's a time to kind of gather things and dispose of that which is no longer productive. This is all part of producing not just some fruit, but much fruit. To get thriving plants and vines, we must cut back that which is not producing so the nutrients go to the healthy parts and then so they can flourish. Now, it appears that Jesus wants us to produce much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Bearing fruit seems to be one of the clearest indications of being a follower of Christ. You've heard us say a lot around this place in terms of our mission statement, what our purpose is in being growing disciples who make disciples. This is true for all believers in all contexts, in all walks of life, as to be his followers and to help others to become followers as well. Now, if we're doing this well, we must remain or abide in Jesus, and his word must abide in us. This means knowing his word and living his word. This speaks to not just our behaviors as somehow some list of do's and don'ts, but rather our character, what it is that we're trying to portray in our lives. Roger Fredrickson says, again in his commentary, this fruit that the disciples bear is not what they do, but the life of Jesus in them. It is his character reproduced within them and shared with others in love. Remember, this is a process. It's Christ being formed in us and us being transformed into the image of Christ. Paul writes this to the church in Rome. He says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's a process of being transformed. The Apostle Paul says by doing so, we get to ask whatever we wish, and God will provide. Did you catch that phrase? Ask whatever you wish, and God will provide. Well, this is not formulaic. Sometimes we get in the habit of thinking, if I do this, then this is going to happen. It doesn't always kind of work out that way. When we ask, Our asking needs to be in line with God's will, not our will and our own selfish desires at times. God is asking us to, again, to ask according to his will, not like some kind of genie in the bottle that I get to say and ask for anything I want. And verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for the Father makes joy possible. That's characteristic number 4. Love and obedience are two sides of the same reality. This love is not a vague, sentimental feeling that comes and goes, but a tough reality that is always revealed in obedience. Jesus demonstrates this in his way of life in this world. His sacrificial love gives us a model in how we must abide or remain in him. While he was with his disciples in the upper room just a few moments before being in the garden, he washes the disciples' feet and says to them, as I have done for you, you must now do for one another. Out of love, out of the character of our lives, not somehow to get something, but out of who we are in our being. And finally, in verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus intended to show us the way of the Father by his love, so that his joy may be in us, and that our joy may be complete. Complete joy. Can you imagine? Is that possible? Yes, according to his word. We definitely can. Joy is the unexpected gift growing out of our intimate relationship with the one that we love and serve. Let me say that again. Joy is the unexpected gift growing out of our intimate relationship with the one we love and serve. While happiness, even though it is frantically sought as some kind of product that can be possessed, turns out to be a disappointing illusion. Happiness, Fredrickson states, is like the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow that does not exist. How appropriate on St. Patrick's Day. Joy is rooted in who God is. It is not fleeting or based on circumstances, as I said earlier. Worldly possessions, accomplishments, even the people in our lives and the blessings that make us happy and that fuel our joyfulness. But the Bible teaches that the source of all joy is Jesus, just as we sung during the offertory. The fifth characteristic of Jesus as the vine is complete joy can only be found in remaining in him. Is it any wonder why the first two fruit of the Spirit are love and joy? These are ever present in the one who wants to be a disciple of Jesus. Galatians 5:22 makes it really clear, gives us a good list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a great list of potential fruit that could be pouring out from the vines in our lives. Now Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what about what Jesus says in John 15 got your attention here this morning? Our first characteristic of Jesus as the vine is he produces fruit, and he calls us to produce fruit. As his beloved children, we have something to enrich others' lives in being in relationship with each other. Secondly, Jesus cleanses and makes us clean by his word. We can't clean ourselves. Only by his word are we clean. Third, he abides and calls us to abide in him, to remain in him as the only way to bear fruit. Fourth, all this happens because of the Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for us. He loves, therefore we love. The fifth characteristic of Jesus of the vine is Jesus told us, so that his joy may be in us and that our joy may be complete. He is where the joy is. What a great phrase. Only in him can we experience his great joy. So anytime you see a vine, may it recall for you the love the Father has for the Son and the Son's love for you, that you might have complete joy. So, who do you say I am? We started out a few weeks ago. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And I am the true vine. Who do you say I am? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.